Back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Well, Doug, how about this? Makes you think.
What am I thinking about?
It's 9:10 already.
All right.
And this show is like a dream to our listeners. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio. We're on the road today at Ryan Kelly's world headquarters here in Brentwood. We just talked to the home loan expert at the end of last segment. We have Derek Gould coming up in a matter of moments, Doug, to talk some Cardinals baseball as we approach the final week of the regular season, and still, who knows who's going to win those wild card spots?
Well, I don't think anybody knows. We've got it narrowed down to three, though.
Have the Pirates been eliminated mathematically?
I don't think so. They're only like 4.5 out.
Cardinals, I think we can exclude
Cardinals,
them,
Mets,
though.
And Giants could all lose all of their remaining games. So I'm sure they're not out of it yet.
Do you think these teams are going to surge in the final week? Are they going to play some good baseball?
We're back to that word surge that you had a problem with earlier.
I didn't have a problem. We were talking politics, and I think a lot of people are very excited to watch the debate tonight.
Would you get a bigger rating in St. Louis? Is that a crazy question?
Baseball?
Because they were saying
that's a great question.
More people will watch. You got Monday Night Football, right? You have the debates, which some anticipate will be the most watched debate ever, and you have Cardinal baseball. In St. Louis, Doug, and you can use this in your podcast, the official Doug Vaughn podcast, if you want. How does it stack up ratings-wise? Go.
Say debate number one, Cardinals number two, Monday Night Football three.
It'll be tough, though, to gauge that because the debate is playing on every single network, correct? Aren't all the stations running it? Okay, but I'm saying,
how could you not watch that?
My point is, all the local news stations are running the debate locally.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't know.
What is Channel 4 doing? You're the assistant.
I don't have the schedule in front of me.
You're the assistant director of programming.
The debate is from 8 to 9:30. It's straight through. I know we're running it. I thought every station can run the debate.
I don't know.
I don't know, Charlie.
I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Well, I wouldn't.
And that's
think,
how it works. But Lester Holt is the moderator.
Yeah.
But all the stations will be running it. It's the same way that if the president's talking at the State of the Union, all stations will air that.
I thought each host of the debate gets to have exclusivity. Whatever network is running it, I'm not sure.
I know we are running the debate from 8 to 9:30. I just got an email
watching this Cardinals bunch.
All right,
they fight for the playoffs.
Let's switch it up and talk some Cardinals baseball because Derek Gould is joining us right now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Of course, the Cardinals beat writer with the Post-Dispatch and the co-host of the Writer's Block. The interview brought to you by Hot Shots. Good morning, Derek. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
We are doing well. We were just kind of talking about this final week of the regular season. Do you think these three wild card teams, will they all surge and, you know, win five or six games the last week, or do you think we're going to see the same kind of middling where all the teams are going around 500 and we're going to see somebody win it in the end on Sunday potentially?
No, I think this is, you know, going to be a lot like that company picnic in the three-legged race, a whole lot of falling across the finish line.
Well, I think the one thing, and we probably agree on this, the one defining characteristic of this Cardinals team this season is that once you think they're heading in this direction, they go in the other direction, good or bad. It's hard to pick up. So my question to you is, how will the Cardinals fare, in your opinion, on this homestand with so much at stake, and specifically Jaime Garcia, who looked good out of the bullpen, which I think a lot of people didn't think was really his forte. He gets a start. How will he fare tonight?
Yeah, that's kind of pivotal now, right? I mean, he's how he pitches tonight, you know, I don't know about setting a tone for the series because the Reds are pretty bad, so the Cardinals should do well in that series, but they need him to kind of bring some calmness and in some ways be like a stopper of sorts for them. I think the big thing, Kat, is going to be the offense. You know, the Cardinals have to do this week something that I don't think they've done all season, and that's win probably 5 out of 7 games at home. You know, they're the best road team in baseball. They're the only team other than the Cubs to have a winning record at Wrigley, I think. They're certainly the only team in the National League, in the division to have a winning record at Wrigley other than the Cubs. And, you know, they just cannot solve Busch Stadium. And one of the reasons why, you know, a lot of folks think that they struggle at Busch Stadium, including Matheny and other officials with the team, is because Busch Stadium is a pitcher-friendly ballpark, is a ballpark that does not cater to a power team, and they have a power team this year, but it hasn't been all that powerful, only in bursts on this past road trip, and then for the past 23 games, they've struggled. I think, you know, they got 12 losses in their last 23 games, and 9 times they've scored you know, 2 or fewer runs in those games, and their last 8 losses are 2 or fewer runs. So, you know, you're right. I mean, this is really hard to project what they're going to do, but I know what they have to do. They have to do in the final 7 games something they haven't done all season, and that doesn't seem like something they can pull off.
You'd like to think that there'll be an intense crowd tonight, kind of a playoff atmosphere with everyone knowing how important the games are, but I guess that doesn't help much if it is indeed a pitcher's park and you can't hit a home run, because they continue to struggle to score any runs at all unless they hit it out of the park.
Yeah, and I don't know. You know, I wonder how that, you know, like you guys were just talking about, I wonder how the debate plays into it too. Like, how many people, you know, you saw some football games yesterday, right, where – you know, I think there were a lot of empty seats, you know, because people can watch from the comfort of their own home. And, you know, think about it tonight. You could, even if you have a ticket to the Cardinals game, it's Cardinals-Reds. Cardinals are kind of, I mean, they're in the race. They need a win tonight, and they can tie the Giants because the Giants are idle. So they'll tie the Giants for the second wild card, which puts them back somewhat in control of their own destiny. It was a hold that they had 7 days ago, but they don't anymore. But, I mean, if you have a ticket to the Cardinals game, are you going to stay at home and do some, you know, channel flipping just to watch this debate? You know, I mean, I'm really interested to see. I imagine they're going to announce how many tickets sold there are, but I'm really interested to see how many actual, like, you know, butts in the seats there are, because I think there's an appeal to staying at home and flipping between the two events.
And I think this debate, and I'm not even trying to get political, because you could look at it any way you want, but I think there's an element of a sporting event to this debate.
Absolutely.
As we've seen with this political season, it isn't purely politics or the future of the country. There's a sporting event aspect to this debate.
There's a car wreck aspect to this debate,
yeah.
Kat. I mean, isn't that the phrase, right? There's going to be a lot of rubbernecking for this.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think these are probably the two best candidates America has ever put forth.
Okay, Doug, that's fantastic.
Last time, let's not have a passing incident where you immediately leave the show because we're.
I wouldn't do
come
that
on,
to
Doug,
you guys.
Politics.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that to you guys.
So how do you? Because well, you know, to me, that you just can't, like, fans want
to
know,
well,
why can't
to him. So that's
why can't
kind of you.
Why can't the Cardinals win at home? Well, it can't be one thing, you know. Fans want some. Well, it's because Mike Matheny's changed times when they report. He's mixed up. There's not one real thing not one quantifiable thing, right? And that's been a question about a lot of different things. Why is it this way? So Jaime tonight looked good in the bullpen when there were tons. Hey, this guy is not suited for the bullpen in an atmosphere in his last appearance where balls were flying everywhere. He just immediately quieted everything down.
Yep.
Can we see that tonight?
Sure. I mean, he's capable of doing that. He's capable of going out and throwing a one-hitter. He's capable of making the Reds look goofy. Because a lot of pitchers can make the Reds look goofy. But Jaime, if he has command of his stuff, he's exceptional. I mean, you know, that's sort of been Mike Matheny's argument, and he's right. Is if Jaime Garcia is at his best, he's got to start because he can give them 7-8 innings of zeros. And, you know, he gets good movement on his pitches, you know, a lot of different things. I think you're right in the sense that there's not one reason. I mean, I just brought up the one reason why they struggle at home. I mean, I have a sense, or I have a feeling, or some theories as to multiple reasons why they're not good at home. And one of them strikes at kind of what you're talking about is, you know, last year's team was so good at pitching and run prevention. I mean, they really were. The Cubs are the same way this year. The Cubs this year and the Cardinals last year are two of the best run prevention teams that baseball has seen in a long time. And what I mean by that is they just absolutely suffocate opposing teams, not just by limiting the amount of runs they can score, but by just diffusing offenses, by not allowing extra bases, by erasing base runners with double plays. Cardinals were excellent at that last year. The Cubs are good at it this year. By not, you know, making the throw to the wrong base that gives up the extra 90 base, by not giving up free base runner, by not giving up unearned runs. Again, something that the Cardinals were exceptional at last year, and their pitching staff was rewarded for it because they were, you know, as good of any pitching staff, as low of ERA as any pitching staff since the 1960s for the Cardinals. That's the kind of team that Busch Stadium really, you know, that excels at Busch Stadium, is a kind of team that just plays fundamentally sound and does not offer an inch to the other team. But when they get an inch, they take 90 feet. And that's what last year's Cardinals team was. The kind of team that you're describing where it's really hard to get a read on, you don't kind of know what it's going to give you, that's the kind of team the Cardinals are this year, and that's the kind of team that Busch Stadium doesn't cater to. And, you know, there's other reasons too, but, you know, the power's a part of that. But, I mean, I think, you know, at the baseline, it's this notion that the Cardinals have not been as sharp playing the game, or either way, either limiting teams or taking advantage of teams as they were last year, and that's really exposed at Busch. And then the other part of it is how the bullpen is run at home versus on the road, you know, the bottom and top of the inning. And I think that's part of why they've struggled at home.
Carlos Martinez also has really odd splits where his numbers are much better away from Busch than they are this year. His ERA is like a run and a half better when he's away from Busch Stadium. Derek, we were talking earlier, and the last week or so, there's been a lot of discussion about if there's a three-way tie for the wild card and the scenarios, how that would play out. What if there's a tie for the second wild card? What's the scenario? Do they play a game, or does it go to the record versus that team? How does that work?
It's they play a game, and then the team with the tiebreaker hosts.
So there you go, Doug. There would be a game.
Yeah.
So it seems like
baseball. If in baseball, if there is a record, if the records are the same, they play a game. If a berth is at stake, does that make sense?
Yes.
So if a playoff berth is at stake, and the records are the same, they play a game. There's a 163 to decide it. The home field advantage is based on the tiebreaker, not who goes to the playoffs.
Gotcha.
Always play the game.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Well, Derek, we appreciate the time as always, sir. We'll see you at the ballpark, and it should be a fun final week to see if the Redbirds make it into this wild card game.
Yeah, the final seven games. I mean, like I said, they got to do what they haven't, so it'll be interesting. Cat, you were missed.
Thank you. The last couple games? I felt bad I wasn't there, but I got to tell you, watching the game from my couch, being home with the family, pretty good trade-off, Derek.
You don't need to rub it in there, big guy.
Thanks, Derek.
Thank you, sir. All right, cool team.
Look forward to seeing you guys. Bye.
See you.
You too. Right, that's Derek Gould, of course, of the Post-Dispatch and the co-host of the Writer's Block. Joining us there, brought to you by Hot Shots. So there, he told us the knowledge. There would be a game if there's a tie for the second wild card spot. It would be game 163 on a Monday. And then whoever wins plays on that Wednesday in the National League.
And it really gets muddled if there's a three-way tie for the top spot.
Don't you feel like, I mean, what are the chances there's not some semblance of a tie? I would love to know mathematically the probabilities.
Well, we didn't.
It just seems like.
We didn't study hard enough.
I know, but it seems like there's a darn good chance that there's going to be some form of a tie.
Yeah, 50-50 probably.
And also, I was looking up online. all of the stations are running the debate.
They are.
And this is for all of the debates, all three presidential debates, as well as the vice presidential debate. That one is Tuesday, October 4th, by the way. But each debate will be broadcast live on C-SPAN, ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC, as well as all cable news channels, including CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC, among others.
What about HGTV?
I don't think it's on HGTV.
No, they're running flip or flop.
But again, when you add up all of those stations, people watching, I think the ratings are going to be... I don't know if it's going to be far superior to the Cardinals, because the Cardinals do so well. I do think it's going to beat the Cardinals.
Whoa. You're talking Fox Sports Midwest. You're talking about the pinnacle of regional cable television in the United States of America. You're talking about Cardinal baseball, usually one or two in ratings. And
no,
you're
talking about huge games, Doug.
You're talking about huge games. Yeah,
what do you guys normally do, though, rating-wise, on a Monday in a game like this?
Usually very well.
Like 13, 15? Ish.
It depends. It really does. They've been up and down. Overall, very good, but they've been up and down. I don't know if I could actually cite that number as an average.
I think the debate, when you add it all up, will win, but I don't know if it'll be.
Oh, I think it'll be
totally
monstrous numbers for the debate.
Do you think there's going to be crazy protests outside? Like
yes,
almost trying to stop the event, like angry bad protests.
Why? Why would you try to stop the event?
Well, because people are crazy.
Well,
do you think there'll be like a heckler inside of the debate that causes some type of?
I hope not. I hope they. I don't. They don't have a partisan crowd that cheers wildly every time somebody says.
Of course,
something.
They will.
Well, they shouldn't allow it.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that both sides will be represented.
They shouldn't.
Do you think Jennifer Flowers should have been sitting there in the front row, or Mark Cuban, or both? But it seems like Flowers is not going to attend, and Mark Cuban.
I got news. If you're Donald Trump and Mark Cuban is in your kitchen because he's front row, then that's on you.
I have to admit, though, and I think we've had a lot of discussions, so I think most people know how I think on these lines, although I'm not talking about it anymore. But I do think when Hillary makes what is a strategic power move to invite Mark Cuban, from a strategy perspective, even though I don't agree with it and I think it's out of line, for Trump to say, well, I will invite Jennifer Flowers, that's like the ultimate.
I think that's brilliant.
That's checkmate.
Actually.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah.
I'm saying I don't think it's appropriate. But again, if you're going to mess with me,
which one isn't appropriate?
Well, don't you think
both?
Jennifer Flowers is a little more
how is Cuban
inappropriate?
How is Cuban appropriate?
My thing is, if you
but
open
come on,
the,
Doug, are you saying are you saying
if
you
open
I understand
door,
that, but are you
the
saying
door
they're the
for
same?
That kind of gamesmanship?
That's
then,
my point.
Then you suffer the consequences.
My point is exactly that. She made or her people made what they thought was a strategic move, and he absolutely. No pun intended. Trump that with a bigger
right.
move. Like if you're going to do that, I will go past that and
he
bring.
Brought in about
the
20,
former mistress
he
of your
brought
home.
In about 20 of them.
One clarification,
about
20 gentlemen.
Of his former mistresses.
Trump tweeted that. I saw Kellyanne Conway on one of the Sunday
yeah,
shows
she's not
yesterday's in the campaign. That was totally an unofficial invite from the campaign. That never happened. One thing I did want to share with you guys is this has been making the rounds. On Twitter this morning, apparently MSNBC had this graphic, Trump's tasks for tonight, and they had three keys to Trump's debate performance.
Mm-hmm.
Stop lying, show humility, and fill in the gaps in his policy proposals.
You think that might work for Hillary, too? Talking about lying. Holy smokes. I think it would be better, even if they didn't have Jennifer Flowers, if they brought in the family of the Benghazi victims. That would be better. That would be more powerful. Bringing the parents of the people killed in Benghazi.
I think there's one of those. I think fill in the policy gaps is legitimate, and for a network to run, stop lying when
that had to be from NBC. Did you say
that
NBC?
Was MSNBC?
Right.
Correct.
NBC is an arm of the Democrat
and to
Party.
To be honest,
that's
you know,
MSNBC.
Same thing as NBC.
Politicians,
no, it's not.
Politicians lie, but I think between the two of them, we've seen that game taken to a whole nother level on both sides.
Yeah, and now. The worst thing to come out of all this is the, in my view, is that the national media can't be trusted anymore. I don't know who, I don't know where to turn to get the straight word on any of it. I don't know.
I don't agree with that.
Well, where would
I know,
you go?
I know that's the way that you think. I just,
you really
again,
think
we've talked about this many times. If you want the slant one way, you can go to an MSNBC. If you want it the other way, you can go to Fox. CNN, I think of the cable networks, they are the best at being close to the middle. If you don't agree, that's fine. Yes, it's as close as you can get. And again, I don't think if you're watching the national news on a CBS, on an ABC, that you're getting some ridiculously slanted perspective. I really don't.
I think
I agree with Doug on this. I think it is slanted. I think it's talked about sometimes like it's slanted like 90%. I don't think that's the case at all. If there's a slant, and there might be in some stories, maybe slanted, but I do not think it's this overwhelming bias. I really don't.
I do. I think it's overwhelming. If they're talking about things that you agree with, you're not going to think it's overwhelming. You're going to think, well, that makes sense.
That's not true
at
all.
If it's all in line with your political beliefs, you go, well, yeah, that's the right way to report
it. That's not true at all because I look at things from all different angles, and you're on different sides of the aisle in terms of different issues. And honestly, if you're a person who consumes news and you try to read about things, I think you can watch the news and you can say, okay, I think that's pretty fair. Or that's not fair. On either side, you can say, you know what, I don't think that coverage was fair, whether it be on the right or the left. I think us as consumers, like just because something is on TV doesn't mean I believe it. I can watch something and say, you know what, I don't agree with that. I don't think that was a fair coverage of the event.
Well, absolutely. That's what we're talking about, is that you can't believe a lot of what you hear.
But that's my point. Like as consumers of the news, it's up to you to be educated and to read things and to try to sift through what are
but unfortunately, well, what's the biases and what's the misinformation. That's how a lot of people get educated, is by watching the news. And so they think that this must be the truth, is what I'm hearing from the national guys. And it's all become so slanted one way or the other. TV almost all to the left, radio almost all to the right. That's what it's become. And I'm saying I wouldn't know where to go nowadays to get the news down the middle. I would not know where to go.
I don't know if it exists. And I don't know if part of it is intentional. I think there's a lot of people that believe in the philosophy of Democrats that happen to work in media. And I think that even if it's unintentional, does cloud some of the coverage. I'm not saying it's 90% or anything like that. But I think if you're just an impartial guy viewing it, you can't help but notice that.
Okay, Ryan Kelly saying he's got to go. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert. That's where we're at right now here. The world headquarters.
He said he
in
only
Brentwood,
gets
and
news
he says
from Inside
he
STL.
Only gets his news from Inside STL and Fan Page. Most of the big stories
dangerous too. Talk
nationally,
about
Doug, are broken on the Fan Page. And also, the key to losing weight and improving health is consistently eating the right foods. Metabolic Meals makes this easy, which is why they come highly recommended by doctors and personal trainers. Metabolic Meals has been St. Louis's top diet delivery company for the last 4 years and will soon be shipping meals across the country, perfect for people with blood pressure issues, high cholesterol, diabetes, and healthy weight loss. But most people, including the Tim McKernan, use Metabolic Meals as a convenient way to have healthy meals around the house. Try them out. Call 636-296-MEAL or visit mymetabolicmeals.com. That is 636-296-6325 or mymetabolicmeals.com.
My question is, and I thought I read this somewhere. You might have read some differently. I read that Donald Trump was not doing the normal debate prep with a stand-in for Hillary, going over scenarios and having sort of mock debates, and that he's kind of just going to wing it. He's looked at some video and gone over some policy.
You don't believe that, do you?
I don't know.
I've said all along.
This is what I, and this is I'm not attacking Trump, but I do get the sense we play that clip from Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. which I think is wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the handler said, "All right, we have some talking points. Maybe steer clear. Ah, I'm gonna wing it." I mean, I think that's he's run an unconventional campaign and it's worked. Look where he is right now. I mean, he hasn't really done a lot of the
winging it for several months now.
Well,
they've kind of got him reined in. I would really be stunned if he hasn't prepared for the debates.
I'm not saying just not in a conventional way.
I think we're all going to be let down in the entertainment value of tonight's debate, because I think
that would be a good thing for the country.
Right? No,
that would be a good thing for the country.
I think the reason the debates got heated on the Republican side, you have Trump obviously, but also the fact that there was 5 million candidates, and that's where it started becoming Lion Ted and all that and Little Marco. I don't think you'll have that in a one-on-one setting. And also, if you think about it, they were talking about this on Fox News last night. A lot of the comments that Trump has made that maybe have gotten him in hot water, they weren't at the debates. They were more at the rallies where he was kind of standing up there for an hour and just shooting from the hip. So if you think about it, he hasn't really said a lot of really controversial things at the debates. He did have the Lion Ted and the Little Marco, but he those quotable kind of gotcha things, they didn't happen at the debates.
Right, where he said, I prefer a guy who didn't get captured, yeah. was not in the right. debate. Some of the things that...
And I don't think he can rip Hillary the way he ripped some of the other guys. It's one thing to rip another man, but if he's too hard on Hillary, that'll come off really bad.
See, I don't know about that. I think typically if you talked about, like, in a normal setting, man versus woman, that would be true. But I just think that Hillary is not a sympathetic figure. And obviously you have that relationship of a man versus a woman, but I don't think people look at her as this helpless woman that, oh, it's Big Dad Trump. I think they're gonna go at it. And I don't think people give Hillary benefit of the doubt. And maybe they shouldn't. And I don't think they look at her as this, oh, be nice to the woman. You know
but
what I'm
I also think just the optics of a guy treating a woman with disrespect will not play well no matter where you stand, you know, in the political spectrum. Because it's not we're not used to seeing that. So I think he has his work cut out for him to seem in control. He's going to have to do some zingers, but he's going to have to attack her not personally, but on her record. I think that's fair game. If you're going to attack, you attack the record. It doesn't have to be personal, which he's had problems controlling that.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw him when he, you know, made that comment about Carly Fiorina. You know, that wasn't at the debate, and then when that was brought up at the debate, he said, I think, you know, she has a beautiful face and she's a beautiful person. It's definitely different when you see that in the setting where both people are there.
I wonder where Trump would be now if he hadn't attacked everybody else.
He'd be winning.
I don't know that he would have ever gotten through it. Not that it was just the attacks, but I think it was his free-swinging type of demeanor that drew a lot of people into him.
I don't know, but I can tell you, I think going into it, Jeb Bush was a threat, and those attacks neutralized him early on. For whatever reason, Jeb's response wasn't good. I do wonder about that. You know, if he would have played it straight and just been nice guy, would Jeb have gotten all the traction in the early going like so many predicted?
Probably. They would have said, well, Trump has never been a politician. Yeah. We can't support him.
No, but I don't think that people dislike Trump for the way he handled the debates. I think that was brilliant strategy. Like, people don't bring up the way he treated Rubio and Cruz. They just say he beat him. I think for Trump, his issue is or has been that he's said about 5 or 10 things that are really insensitive to some people. And I think if he didn't say, again, and I'm talking about the comment about rapists, there's been some other about what he said about John McCain.
But what he said, some of it's not like, and I'm not defending him, but I heard what he said. I saw the clip when he was talking about, he said, and unless I'm totally wrong, and that's the one that always comes back, and he said other things that are indefensible.
But also, but, like the making fun of the handicapped reporter.
Indefensible.
If those things don't happen, he's probably winning. That's my point.
And that's probably true. But what he said that Mexico has taken people out of prison and pushing them into this country, murderers. And to me, that sort of got mixed in with all immigrants. As I recall, he was talking specifically about the folks in prison that Mexico was just cutting loose and sending over here.
Mm-hmm.
Which so
I don't remember that being the case for that soundbite, actually. But I just think, again,
there's plenty that's indefensible.
If Trump hadn't made the comment, for example, about John McCain, if he hadn't mocked the reporter, I think he's winning. I really do. I think people – I think if you take all the good from Trump and then you don't have some of the insensitive stuff, I think he's beating Hillary by a pretty good margin.
Maybe, yeah.
I really do.
He could certainly not have said some of those things he said in interviews that were so insensitive.
That's my whole
point.
But
the stuff at the debates where he was giving everybody
I think that's fine.
That must have helped him.
I think that's fair game, and I think that was brilliant strategy.
But one thing that people really want – out of their leader is they want an authoritarian leader. They like the idea of somebody who is large and in charge. And I think that's where a lot of his popularity comes from.
And I think it's because whether or not you say he's not an outsider because he had to work with politicians for his business, I just think people are tired of Washington on both sides. And he stands as a guy who's going to do what he thinks is right, as opposed to being controlled by the political hierarchy. I think that's his main appeal. Even with independence, which apparently he's doing a little better with.
Hey, Doug, DraftKings is the destination for one-week fantasy football. Use code QUARTERBACK and play free with your first deposit for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See site for details. Again, I need a big game out of both Jacob Tammy and Julio Jones of the Falcons versus the Saints.
I was about to win my Channel 4 game yesterday. I mean, I was comfortably in front. I was ahead
computer glitch?
It must have been.
Spamware?
I was ahead by like 26 points, and my opponent, the former general manager at Channel 4, is no longer there now. He's got T.Y. Hilton as his last player. T.Y. Hilton scores one touchdown. He had one touchdown.
It was a 15-point play.
It was more than that in my league.
73 yards plus a touchdown plus a catch.
He wound up with like 32 points. He had one touchdown and 174 yards receiving. He got 32 points out of that.
Because
what kind of bad
math is that? A PPR league, some leagues have a bonus for a catch over 50-plus yards for a touchdown. I'm also playing somebody with T.Y. Hilton. And the whole reason that it's going to be a sweat tonight is because the last play of the game, or whatever that was, T.Y. Hilton goes off for the 73-yard touchdown, which totally flipped the percentages of
winning. Yeah, it's cheap. One touchdown? One? And you got 32 points out of that?
Well, 32 points, right?
For the game. But his game was one touchdown, 174 yards receiving.
Yeah, but
that's worth 32 points?
Okay.
It's a computer glitch.
He has 17 points worth of yardage. He has 6 for the touchdown, and he had about 9 catches, right? PPR league, so that's about 32.
Had. Nobody else had anywhere close to that number of points in that league.
I don't know what he had. It's wrong, though.
It's malware.
Emmanuel Sanders yesterday had about 32 points because he had 2 touchdowns and 8 catches for whatever it was, 100-plus yards.
I don't like the scoring system. I don't care for the scoring system.
Unless it helps you.
Well, that would be different. It's never helped me.
Mm-hmm.
It never has. Even if they were to give me that many points, I would give them back because I felt like I didn't deserve them.
Sure. So if you were Central Michigan versus Oklahoma State and you win that game knowing that last play should not have happened, if you're a Chippewa, would you give that win back to Oklahoma
State?
You would have done that.
Hell no.
This is what's going to happen if Trump happens to win the popular vote but not the Electoral College. You're going to say, computer glitch.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be computer glitches in this election. Why wouldn't there be? People try to hack into everything else. They've already hacked into the Illinois and the Arizona voter databases. That's already happened.
Now, is it only one side doing the hacking?
Who knows what they're hacking?
Would hacking be preferable to hanging chads? Do you remember the 2000 election? Hanging chads.
No, hanging chads would be better because that's only a couple of votes. You're really looking at a paper vote. You can figure that out. Hacking, I mean, what do we trust? If somebody hacks into it, you'd alter the entire life. Hack into one state, change Florida, Pennsylvania, Ohio. It's over.
Pennsylvania could swing the entire election.
Yeah, and you've got thousands of people around the country handling these elections differently, thousands with their hands in the computers with votes. Why wouldn't they? They always try to cheat. Why would they not try to cheat now?
Do you believe that the Soviets are trying to help Trump win?
I don't know about that. I don't have enough info on that. I don't know.
You don't have sources over there?
No.
Moscow?
I haven't been in the Kremlin in years, Charlie.
You know where you should go? Michael's Flooring. Michael's Flooring Outlet, to be more specific. You can also check them out at Michael's Flooring
Outlet. They're not going to hack the election.
.com. No, but if you want a good, solid foundation, you need the flooring. And you go there.
Michael's Flooring has always supported fair and equal elections.
Correct. They have 4 great locations to visit and a huge new showroom at their St. Peter's location. What sets them apart, Doug, is their employees. When you come in, they will ask questions that others may not and will try to find the perfect match instead of selling what they have overstock. It's Michael's Flooring Outlet. Check them out, michaelsflooringoutlet.com. Doug, we're talking about 4 what I like to call locales, and that's St. Charles County, West County, North County, and then it's Darden Prairie.
Yeah.
Not Darden, correct?
It's Darden. It's Darden Prairie, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
So michaelsflooringoutlet.com, the home of legitimate elections.
They have never thrown an election in their lives and have no plans to.
Correct.
They would like to lay the flooring for an election site.
Correct.
But they're not interested at all in having their computer guy and going monkey with the votes.
No.
And you think that won't happen? Of course it'll happen. Of course it will.
I've said this a million times. I think when you have so much on the line, power, money, influence, there's always going to be people, there's always going to be a small minority on both sides that try to cheat. I think that will always happen. It happens in sports, happened with the steroid era. I'm sure it happens in politics. I think there's always going to be people that try to cheat when there's so much on the line.
Yeah.
So, yes, I agree with you. But I think it happens on both sides.
And also in the ratings race between two muddling along network affiliates, sometimes there's cheating going on there.
What sort of cheating?
With the ratings?
There isn't.
Phony numbers?
Why are you looking at me? Like I've gotten into the computer and altered the ratings?
Yep. That's what the accusation has been over
that's
the
what
years.
I saw on the internet. Oh. It was a
site
that
was... I think
it
was on the fan pin.
It was totally unbiased.
No.
The site right down the middle.
Only takes one guy to
Plus,
be able to break into one of these
states.
There
was a picture of you on set doing a live shot, and you had an earpiece in.
You said, hey, yep. I'm here. You said, hey, I'm here live from Busch Stadium. You could see in the background it was a green screen.
I wear an earpiece.
Why do you
just
lie?
Like Hillary.
Why do you lie to the...
And I've done some fake videos with green screens like Hillary has.
Why do you lie to the electorate?
Because it's just local news. It's not the
oh.
presidency.
Oh, okay.
The truth is always important, Doug.
Yeah.
And, Doug, the truth is always somewhere in the middle.
No, not always. Sometimes the truth is just the truth. You can try to bend it. You can try to bend it to the middle.
It's usually somewhere in the middle. That's a fact.
The middle of what?
Just the middle.
It depends on what you're talking about.
Right there in the middle.
Middle of the road.
Yeah, middle of the pack.
Middle of the aisle at Deerberg's.
What is?
If a pitcher throws a fastball right down the middle, you have the quadrants. You know what I'm saying? You usually have nine little boxes. If you throw one right down the middle.
There's not nine boxes.
Yes,
there's one strike zone
no.
box.
There's three, three, three.
Well, I could make four, and that would.
No, no, it's nine.
You and your fuzzy math.
If you throw a ball right down the middle, that's called middle.
God bless it. There's not nine boxes in a strike zone. There's however many boxes you want to make in a strike zone.
There's nine little boxes.
There isn't any boxes.
Every hitter has their hot zone.
Here's what I can't wait. After the debate, let's say Hillary wins. There's going to be certain websites that are saying it was an android. It wasn't really Hillary. And if Trump wins, there's going to be similar conspiracy theories on that Hillary was drugged or something. This isn't. I hope it's a normal debate that lacks the entertainment value because it'd be good for the country. But I'm afraid we're not going to see that.
Here's my prediction. It's not as entertaining as we think. It comes out. Nobody has really any more or different perspective than they did going in. And I actually think that benefits Trump. I think if Trump just stands up there and is relatively normal and reasonable, I think he wins. I'll also say this, though. I think Hillary had a really bad weekend a couple weekends ago with the basket of deplorables and also the health, if you believe that or not. I think Hillary just being up there for an hour and a half talking, and if she's looking healthy and looking vibrant, I think she gets points based just on that, the fact that, okay, she looks like she's in pretty good
shape. Here's another odd thing. The polling after the Republican debates, there were some where I thought Trump did badly. And opinion polls, and from all over the spectrum, they always had him winning. So I think people like his style, even if on the surface they're going to say, oh, he's too gruff and I don't – but those polls always had him winning the Republican debates, even when I thought clearly he didn't perform that well.
I wonder how many people are still on the fence and don't know who they're going to vote for. I mean,
I think such
wildly different candidates. You think someone's going to say, sure, I like the hard left position. No, I think I'll go to the Republican side.
Here's why. I think most people have a disdain for both of them. And so they're holding out their vote. And I don't know what the numbers say. Just my opinion. I think there's more undecideds than any. Yes, they're two different candidates, two different people, but neither beloved except by the base.
I don't know.
So I think people are holding out to see how they perform.
I don't know that I've talked to anybody who said, I don't know. They're either, oh, yeah, I'm all Trump, or no, you're nuts, I'm all Hillary. I've not talked to anybody who doesn't really know who they're going to vote for.
I have because they're reluctant to support either one.
Either way, Doug, tonight the Over-Under Bar and Grill will host a watch party for the presidential debate on their patio that has a 150-inch projection screen. There are TVs everywhere at the Over-Under, so you can watch Monday Night Football if you got some fantasy football impact going on. You got the Cardinals game. This season, you have season-long specials that are available on Saturdays and Sundays as well. We're talking Miller Lite and Coors Light Stadium Cups for $6, $4 Jameson Fireball shots, Doug, $5 Tito's vodka and lemonade. So think about it. You go there, you watch the debate, you watch the Cardinals, you watch Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
That's America. That's America.
Well, yeah. Everything in America is America.
That.
Even things that may not seem so American.
That's America.
Okay. You know what else is America?
Tease Farm.
Planting shrubbery.
Yeah.
And other greenery and such.
That's both parties and get behind that.
Now, why do you say and such?
The green
party. You say
especially.
Whenever I say and such that you don't like it. And now you're staying.
This is Jill Stein's party, the green party.
She was a guest on the show a while back.
Yes, she was. Tees Farm and Greenhouses is the official shrub sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. As of now, trees and shrubs, that's right, I said as of now, shrubs will be 20% off at the St. Charles location when customers mention they heard about us on 590 The Fan. So you just say, hey, I heard about 590 The Fan. Okay, bang, 20% off just like that. That's how it works. Just a tip from the pros, fall is the best time to plant trees and shrubs for more rapid and successful growth come spring. But they have much more than that. They have homegrown produce and the best selection of plants and flowers. You can also get your local Missouri honey at Tees Farm. Tees Farm and Greenhouses with three locations at North Hanley, Maryland Heights, and St. Charles. And remember, if you go to that St. Charles location and mention that you heard about us on 590 The Fan, they'll give you 20% off at Tees Farm and Greenhouses.
I raise a glass to the latter last that will always support their team. Whether on the field or is wearing the shield from the land that's emerald green, there's so much pride when you support a side that's winning or losing, it's true, and it helps to know that success may flow like a glass of Tullamore dew.
Nice.
Did you just now make that up?
I did that on the fly.
You're a nice poet.
I did not read that.
Sweet action.
I just made that up just on the fly. Mm-hmm. Tullamore dew is the official Irish whiskey of the Morning After, a whiskey of true character. Glasses up to responsible drinking. Sea Monster, is Plowsy going to be reading the emails? I'm also getting ripped on the text line.
For what?
For not reading texts. And honestly, they're just not very good. I'm sorry. They just weren't that good.
Especially if they're vile.
There's a lot of vile ones early. Beef Momo sent the same
picture. I don't think they were that vile.
Were there good ones, though? I was trying to look through it. I didn't see very many good ones. I like this one. Great stuff, guys. Man, I really wish Charlie would be more disagreeable with Doug. Good grief. You know, for two people to be disagreeable, like, Doug, you also have to be disagreeable with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, for two people to disagree, it takes both sides not agreeing.
Well, we come from opposite ends of the spectrum.
Well, that's fine, but it's funny how one person sees it as me being disagreeable when actually both people are disagreeing with each other.
But we come from opposite sides of the spectrum.
I think we're a lot closer, Doug.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think we're a lot closer than you think, and deep down, we really are friends, even though
we're
you co-workers. Say we're just coworkers.
We're coworkers.
Hey, Chuck,
on that we disagree on.
Yes, Sea Monster.
If you don't want to give out text of the day, why don't we give the
text?
Hold on. Why don't we give the text prize to the second place emailer?
Great idea. Email of the day is a pair of Bud Bash Cardinals tickets. Text of the day, four tickets to Blues Blackhawks. These are big time prizes.
Yes, they are.
Four tickets to Blues Blackhawks? Are you kidding me, Doug?
Are you kidding me?
So, Plowsy, are you back there?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready to read or what? And how's the batch?
The batch is okay. Top heavy with the usual suspects. They kind of filter out a little bit after the fourth or fifth one, but still solid enough.
Well, maybe give some new folks a shot today, Plowsy.
I put them in order by best email, not by...
That's what you're supposed to
yes.
do. The best goes to the front, regardless.
Exactly.
Good for you.
Yeah, don't cheat like Doug does.
Well, I thought we were supposed to decide what the best ones
this
are.
This isn't local affiliate ratings. Stop trying to manipulate. Go ahead, Plowsy.
And right before the reads, Plowsy, I just want to tell you that Truman's and Soulard at 1818 Sydney Street, it's your college and NFL football hangout. Saturdays are for the boys. During college football season on Saturdays, enjoy the $21 special, a large one-topping pizza, and a domestic bucket, all for just $21, Plowsy. That's Truman's and Soulard.
Hello, Plowsy.
All right, go ahead, Plowsy.
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 He's gone.
Well, no, I didn't anticipate you pitching it to me right then and there. I thought the Truman's read was going to be a little bit longer.
We're running out of
time, buddy. No, you're fine. Are you ready?
Gotta watch a clock.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, guys. The Vianney father-son gala this past weekend was a great time. The kissing booth made over $5,000, which is just enough to fund the upcoming Sadie Hawkins camping trip. Just a quick heads up. The Bradley Fall Fest is coming up this weekend. Don't drink the cider. Also, Doug, I saw you at the game yesterday. I couldn't muster up the courage to say hi. I needed an usher to get me back to my seat because I got lost in your eyes. You know how awkward it is to ask for directions with a high nooner? Happy Monday. That is from Matt, who bowls at Hank's. I like the high
Matt?
Nooner.
I didn't. Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
Doug, also, you have to suspend at least one person. This next little
I'll suspend people who
fragment,
are
fragment of
I'm not for sure if there's any suspension worthy ones here, but we'll see.
Okay.
I have gathered a dry stick. I have also whittled a spindle out of a said stick and such. I have fashioned a handhold I have fashioned a handhold and a bow. Now I'm prepared to build a primitive fire and burn your houses down with a hot take. Crackle, hiss, crackle, ha. JK. How about those Rams, huh? Hey, guys, are you going to try to win all the rest of your games? Knock it off. Ha. Just kidding. Players have got to play, and our beef is with the ownership and management. Enjoy the rest of your year. And Doug, you're such a fancy man with all your blueberry talk. Why do you not go plant a blueberry farm in your yard, Farmer Joe? Wear overalls and such. Ha, just kidding. Blueberries are filled with essential nutrients, and when ripe, are quite delicious. Always be yourself, Doug, and always be a gentleman. Thank you for your time. That is from Kevin Ship It.
Well done.
Kevin Ship It. I like it.
Damn you, damn all. Why can't you put the Rams on Fox 2? I need to hate watch, like the Dickens, I mean. Answer me, Charles. And why wouldn't you air the Steelers tilt on the 4 Fox, Doug? Don't you know I need big points out of D'Angelo Williams? And you, the Cat, you've got some nerve. There have been roughly 6 Red B games not broadcasted on FSN. You bastard. I'm ashamed of a lot of you. I'm putting a few calls into your respective station's management. You group of pukes?
Yeah.
I guess I never...
You know what? I'm going to suspend him.
Yes.
What was it, Plowsy?
That is from Lefty Jack Smear.
Lefty Jack Smear has been suspended for his use of that phrase. His name is going into the Llewellyn's Pub suspension logbook, where he'll serve a suspension a period of 2 days' time.
And Llewellyn's has daily specials, Doug, where every day is a different treat.
Well, that was during the Redbird sweepstakes. I don't know if they're still doing
that. They always
Chuck.
Have a daily special.
Okay, let's just say all the food is delicious, so get something that suits you and enjoy.
They have burgers, they have sandwiches, and such.
Can we stop with this and such?
It's my new thing. It's my new thing for a while.
I like it. All right, Plowsy.
Okay, just waiting for you guys to end. Guys, Plops here. Please do announce that after the debut of Cucky's show Friday night, The Morning After is now my 4th favorite show on this station, and soon to be 5th. That's because tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., my new show debuts. That's right, I bought out the slot with money from my sexual harassment settlement, and you guys are out. The show will be called Props with Plops. For 3 hours every day, it'll be me, myself, just taking calls of people simply giving shout-outs to other people. That's it. 15 hours a week of straight-up Props with Plops. Here's a nice tease. An example of what you can expect to hear this time tomorrow. Hi, are you on air? Oh, hi, I just want to say what's up to Jose from the Buggy Whip. Okay, thanks. Next caller. Festus, Missouri. Hi, you're on air. You get it. Starts tomorrow. Hello, ratings. That is from Misty Plops, Assistant Program Director.
Misty Plops, Assistant Program Director.
Plops here.
Might work.
Gents, I downloaded Cucky's show, The Changing Station. I feel sad to report that this show is better than yours. It opened up with him interviewing his mom with hard-hitting questions like, what is your favorite type of fry? And what does it feel like to be mother of a famous person? He did admit to a rookie mistake of forgetting to ask her who was better in the sack, his dad or his stepdad. Wonderful. There was a 10-minute segment where Cucky and Seymour questioned their own morality, and I spoke about their friends and relatives dying. That was fun. The show's zenith was hit when a caller called in and said that Tim's losing his laptop was the equivalent of Babe Ruth losing his bat. Keep it up, Cucky. That is from Bull Pork.
Like a boopak?
Might be out of time.
Boopak. Like a boopak? Are we out of time, Seamonster?
Yeah, we're probably out of time.
Seamonster, right. What? Done? Are we done?
Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap it up.
Sure,
boys.
Let's wrap it up.
All right.
I'm going to... There were 3 that caught my eye, and I thought it was a pretty decent batch. I'm going Kevin Ship.
Wow. Doug?
I'll just go Matt who bowls at Hank since he saw me at the Scott
He was
trade.
Good, too.
No other reason.
Well,
That's
tell
a
you
tough
what.
Choice. That's yeah. where my top 2 were.
It sounds like Matt who bowls at Hank's is going to win... The 4 tickets to the Blues Blackhawks because I thought no, that's the 2nd place.
Oh,
because
well, we're
going
to do bells for
Kevin.
Both.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought Kevin Shipit was the best. So, I thought we were giving away the second prize was going to be the text of the day. Sea okay. Monster, you guys can work that out. Either way, Kevin Shipit.
No
best
one
email.
Loses with this show.
No
that's,
one loses.
That's what the Ryan Kelly the Morning is after is all about.
And you know what else is really good, Doug? Is Lion's Choice. It's a St. Louis original, home of famous roast beef sandwiches. And now you can add 2 LC destinations to the list. Lion's Choice in Wentzville is now reopened, returning after high demand. And check out the newest location in Rock Hill at Manchester and McKnight. More locations means more of St. Louis's favorite roast beef sandwiches So if you haven't, visit any one of the 25 Lions Choice locations today. That's the Lions Choice handoff to the press box with Frank Cusimano. That is coming up right now. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from Ryan Kelly's world headquarters, the Home Loan Expert here in Brentwood. Thanks to Ryan. Thanks to Doug. Thanks to the Cat. Thanks to Sea Monster and Plowsy and everybody back there. I'm Charlie filling in for Tim on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC studio on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSEL.com.